We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea and Bob Flounders. This quarter, we're going to start a new, I'm guessing it'll be a two-part series. We're going to take a deep dive into the quarterback room, take a look at the history, past, present, and even look into the future. Last week, Bob, you and I were having a discussion about Michael Johnson Jr. hitting the transfer portal, and that kind of led to this conversation about the quarterback room. But before we get to our questions, how about a winner? How about announcing a winner from the Ask Ross segment? And that winner is Mike from Atlanta. So, Mike, we will be getting in touch with you. You have won the KSN polo shirt. All right. Let's get started with this conversation about quarterbacks in a more general sense. And I want to start with you, Andy, because we have had discussions about the quarterback ever since James Franklin got here. And one of the things, the themes that you've had is that with the offense that James Franklin wants to present, and you went back even to his Vanderbilt days, that he wasn't necessarily looking for the star quarterback, the elite quarterback. It was almost, and I don't know if you use these words, but the game manager type of quarterback. Do you still feel that way?
I do. I think there is, and always has been, in James' mind, being a former quarterback himself, there was a certain type of quarterback that he thinks fits best in the modern college football offense and the way college football is played. And he, even though he was at Vanderbilt, he was probably ahead of the curve a little bit. That the quarterback position, we all know how important it is. I'm not diminishing it, the quarterback, and saying it's not the most important position in the offense. But in some offenses, the quarterback has to be the be-all, end-all and elevate everybody else around him. James doesn't run his offense that way. He prefers, in a perfect thing, for either his slot receiver or running back to be the most valuable asset that he has. And then it's the quarterback's job to be his best and use those assets and make sure they're used properly. That's the way he's done it. He sticks to it. He doesn't need the five-star recruits, although I'm sure he would probably take them. There is a certain type of quarterback that he wants and that he knows how to develop, right? That's the flip side of it. He knows what he's looking for and he knows how to develop it. And I've always felt that way. And I think we've seen it play out.
Well, Bob, we've now seen several James Franklin quarterbacks that he's recruited and brought here. With that in mind, do you see something that you would call the prototypical James Franklin quarterback that he brings in?
Yeah, I don't know that I would align myself with Andy's thought process totally on that. I think that James Franklin at Vanderbilt, and when he first got to Penn State and he inherited a stationary quarterback in Christian Hackenberg and a not the most creative minds in John Donovan as his OC, I think James played the hand he was dealt for a long time. And I think that ultimately, I think he wants an athletic quarterback who can impact the game with his arm and his legs. But, you know, he inherited a five-star who couldn't run in Hackenberg. His next quarterback is a three-star who outperformed expectations in Trace McSorley, and he's a dual threat. He brings in Joe Moorhead to run his offense, and it's an RPO, and I think that Joe Moorhead ultimately, wherever he goes, I don't think he wants a game manager, but if he has no other choice but to use a game manager, he's gonna structure his offense around him. You know, Sean Clifford is a big athletic quarterback, but he's not quite the ultimate, you know, run pass threat at quarterback. I think ultimately what you'll see from James Franklin and his offense is he wants a dynamic quarterback. He wants a five-star quarterback. I would argue that it's probably been one of the missing ingredients that's really prevented him from unseating Ohio State the last couple of years. He tried to get Justin Fields, and had he gotten Justin Fields, I don't know that we would say – I don't think he would see him as maybe a guy that wants to a game manager. He missed out on Brandon Wimbush. I think he was kind of a special talent as well. I think you're going to see over time James play the hand he's dealt at quarterback. He's – the way that he's kind of cheated the system is trying to get the best offensive coordinator he can find, so that if he doesn't have a five-star, can he get the level of play up to where, you know, he's like a four or a four-plus star. But I do think that James is somebody who is open to change. As somebody who was a dual threat himself at East Stroudsburg, I think obviously that's who he's recruiting now if you look at some of the quarterbacks that he's bringing in. But I'll be very curious to see when, and it's not going to be an if, it's going to be a when, Andy, when he does get the five-star quarterback to commit to Penn State that's not only a phenomenal thrower of the football, but also a game changer as a running back. What will James and the offensive coordinator do to kind of, how different will the offense look?
Well, I was going to turn it over to you, Andy, but with this, I wanted to mention that in our shows with Dustin and Greg, we've kind of have dove into this. Do you need an elite quarterback to compete for a national championship? Do you need to recruit one? And I went back and looked statistically, and my conclusion that I came to was you don't need to necessarily recruit an elite quarterback, but if you don't, you probably need to develop him. Handful of quarterbacks that were five-star quarterbacks over the 5 or 6 years that I went back, only 33% of them panned out. But there were a lot of quarterbacks, and Joe Burrow is the obvious example, who was not necessarily highly regarded coming to campus, but he developed into an elite quarterback. I guess my question to you, Andy, is looking back at who they brought in, and they missed out with Justin Fields and Brandon Wimbush, who were the two most highly ranked quarterbacks that James Franklin got a commitment from, even though they decommitted. Do you see the players on this roster now as developing into elite quarterbacks? Can it be Sean Clifford or one of the other guys who could reach that level?
I've always been a big Sean Clifford fan. I've always liked Sean. I always thought he had that sort of X factor. There is potential, if you want to say it, for a Joe Burrow-like thing. It is Sean Clifford. I always thought he would be the starting quarterback last year. I thought if it was a head-to-head competition that he would beat Tommy Stevens out because he was a better dual threat quarterback because he had an arm. Do you want your quarterback to have just great legs, or do you want your quarterback to have the ability to run but have a great arm? That's Clifford. He has the ability to run, and he worked on it and developed it. So in his first year as a starter, his arm, I think you and I agree, Bob, was probably, as a passer, he was a little less than we would have expected. But the way he developed himself from the ground up as a runner, I think that's the kind of development I expect in 2020 from him as a passer. And I think he has the potential to be that quarterback. I really do.
And real quick, the things that maybe the things that we thought maybe were lacking in Sean as a thrower last year, I think the really encouraging thing is they're fixable. I mean, I look at it wasn't a question of arm strength. It was a question of him. I saw it, you know, up close and in personal. Just an emotional, excitable guy that took a little while to settle in. I think it affected his accuracy. It wasn't a question of arm strength. It was a question of maybe decision-making. And that I think that was another reason why the accuracy wasn't there. I think he missed some throws. I think he was too pumped up. And also, not to make excuses, but You know, KJ Hamler dropped 12 passes. They did drop an unusually large amount of passes. All of that contributed to it. But in terms of throwing the football, I think Sean Clifford is there. I think that's what Penn State wants. And I think that Kirk Ciarrocca can get him to where he's a 67-68% complete passer. That's, you know, he was 59%. That would be a huge jump. I think he can fix what's wrong with Sean maybe as a thrower.
Nothing against Trace McSorley, but there was a quarterback talent ceiling, right? And Trace still overperformed, right? Like massively overperformed. He was awesome. We love Trace McSorley, but there was a ceiling, right? And when you're talking about things that Sean Clifford needs to fix, that's not quarterback talent ceiling. That's execution ceiling, and they can be fixed and worked on and improved on. He needed to become a better runner. He spent 2 years rebuilding himself and working his tail off to become a better running quarterback because he saw the value of it in this offense, and he saw what Trace could do with his legs, and he knew he had to get better at it to get somewhere close to that. 100% agree about the arm. There is no talent, and he has the potential to be that guy.
Okay. Bob, I think we lost you for a couple seconds, but I think you're back.
Sorry about that.
My follow-up question to it is, you know, we talk about Kirk Ciarrocca coming in. I thought one of the things that he mentioned in one of his press conferences that didn't get a lot of play was, as much as he likes the fact that the Penn State quarterbacks can run the ball, he was looking to do it in a way to alleviate how much damage would be done, because Sean Clifford was also pretty beat up by the end of last season. Do you think that's going to be a critical part of things going forward?
I 100% agree with you, Jim. I would argue that the last 2 years, Ricky Ronnie ran the quarterbacks too much. I don't know if they were design runs. I don't know if they were the quarterbacks just taking off with the ball. But when both quarterbacks have well over 100 carries, and Sean actually missed, you know, a game and a half, and he still had a high number of carries. I think Trace had 180 carries or something like that his last year. I think Kirk is smart enough to realize that if my RPO is working right and the quarterback's getting the ball right out right, and the passes are being completed, we don't need to run the quarterback, especially with the guys we have, you know, at tailback. So to me, you're going to see them still run the quarterback, but instead of them running 12 to 15 times, I think it's prudent for it to be more closer to 4 to 6 times. And I think that's what Kirk's going to do.
And hopefully they'll be more effective running it less frequently. And I believe he actually used the expression less running for the quarterback between the tackles. All right. That is it for quarter number 4. And we will see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app now and use promo code KSN to play your first 24 hours of casino risk-free up to $200. That's promo code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.